Is it not rant time?
Yeah,
go in for the world. It. No, no, I don't mean now. I mean in the world.
Yeah, I think it is rant time.
I think if you're not ranting, you're just waiting to rant.
Yeah, or you're post rant. You just ranted,
and I'm that guy. But I'm not ranting here.
Do you rant to your kids?
Yeah, they're tired of hearing it. Let's do a photo show instead.
Okay.
Hello and welcome to episode 318 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver. Felt like you were going a little extra low on the intro there. Are you trying to sound more mature?
I've been drinking Southern Comfort all day.
Okay. All right.
So I said this week I'm going to sound like Janis Joplin.
Okay. All right, then.
Mission accomplished.
Yes.
Is it another snowpocalypse
in Vancouver? It is. Yeah, I wasn't even going to mention it because it's a little bit distressing to me. But yes, they're expecting in the lower mainland of Vancouver today an unheard of up to 20 centimeters today.
What?
Today. At first they said 25 centimeters over the weekend, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And this morning on the way to drop my kids at school, the morning news had it at 20 centimeters today.
And I
believe it. It's just dumping out there and it's sticking. So
I've seen that before. I've seen that one time just after Christmas on Boxing Day, like I forget how many, 15 plus years ago, where we had that or more. Not to one up it, but it was so much that the hockey tournament in Richmond was essentially, it wasn't canceled because a lot of the teams were staying down there, but the referees couldn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of people, like you just legitimately could not drive. It wasn't like, oh man, drive is going to be tough. You could not go. So it and that's what I've been told about this is I have a couple firemen friends who have I saw a post on Facebook. Yeah, don't drive down Oak Street.
Mm.
It's just accidents everywhere.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, just even around my neighborhood, like, driving super slow, it's a bit of an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
You're just sliding around corners and it's you know, if you're out on the road alone, it's kind of fun, but you don't want to mix in a lot of other vehicles or surrounding pedestrians.
Have you taken your kids and pulled the e-brake with them in the snow?
No, I haven't.
No?
No, I don't do any of that with them. I have done it without them, but not with them.
Well, of course, we've all done it without them.
Yeah.
We've all done it. We all think we invented it.
Yeah, I feel like it's sending the wrong message that a car is a plaything for them. So,
okay.
So, I have that.
I'm a horrible parent.
Yeah, you are a way worse parent than I have. That conundrum in my head is like, no, can't do that with the kids. I also can't yell at other motor vehicle drivers. So other motorists, I can't yell at them when I get mad in traffic because my wife informed me that sends the wrong message. So
why? No, don't answer that. That's a rabbit hole. we had snow. The snow went away a couple of days ago, and now it's like springtime here. Like it's in the plus teens, and so you know I know it's early February, but in my head it's already all right. We're through the winter. Spring is here. It's not going to happen. We're gonna get hit with it again. However, I did take the kids and I showed them. Obviously, mom wasn't in the car because mom frowns upon that stuff.
Yeah.
I did the old e-brake skid and ended up doing I think it was about a 270. We went right around. There's no parked cars or anything like that. But we went pretty far around, further around than I thought we would go.
Yeah.
And ended up hitting the curb.
Nice. Wheel alignment time.
No, it was the back wheels. They're fine. The kids loved it, though. They thought that was the greatest, and I said, it is fun. It's funner if you don't tell mom. Because mom does not like that one bit.
Well, now the word is out, because mom listens to this podcast every week.
Yeah. She does not.
I think you're safe. You're safe.
I don't think she knows I do a podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say, 300 or 400 lifetimes, I think you're safe.
Yeah. At no point. The irony is, I actually give her photo advice. Like, she phoned me from school the other day. My wife's also a teacher. She phoned me from school and saying, yeah, the camera, it won't focus. And I had to talk her through. It's like, you didn't want to listen to the show, huh? All right. So yeah. There's that. Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
If you need to buy a new wheel alignment,
get it
on Amazon.
You need to buy a lift for your vehicle. Yeah,
you probably do at this point. You need to buy a new e-brake. Check it out on Amazon. If you do, click through our site. It helps us out. If you look on our site on the right-hand side, you'll see all the links. There's even a page called Amazon where you can go to the links, if that helps, and do your shopping. I got my poker cards came in the other day.
Okay.
They are plastic.
Oh, so they're the bendy ones that are durable.
Yeah, they're durable.
If they're going to call them poker cards, they should be. So
I don't know if they call them poker cards. It's Germany. Like, the Google is different here. I don't know.
They'll last you about 10 times as long as a normal deck of cards.
Yeah. Well, at the rate that we play here in Germany, that'll be, 400 years. So I think I'm set.
Okay.
Either way, we're all set. So I think there's that on Amazon. The book that I ordered still hasn't come yet. It's kind of a specialty item. So I'll let everyone know about that. But other than that, I think most of my Amazon purchases have shown up. The stuff we talked about. The spree is over.
Okay.
You? Wow. Anything? Anything cast iron-wise?
No, I haven't bought anything. I know right around Christmas, Jack wanted an Edmonton Oilers like little cover for his iPod. And so we ordered it. It was like, I don't know, $8 or $9. And of course it wasn't on Prime. It was something that, had to come from China. But he was dead set on having an Edmonton Oilers cover. And it said, expect delivery in the next 4 to 8 years, right? So we ordered it. And it's so funny because it's the cutest thing. Because we ordered it, I think, December. It was like Boxing Day, the 26th or 27th. It still hasn't come.
Uh-huh.
And every day when he gets home from school, he goes, he rushes to check if it's come. And then finally today, I thought, okay, I'm going to just go on Amazon and check out, if this thing is in transit and where it's at. It's expected by the 8th. So I will, February the 8th. So I will, I'll keep you abreast of the situation there. But it is very cute when kids, even as nominal an item as an iPod cover, how excited they are when things come. So I think I'll just, once a month, just order them a piece of plastic or a paper clip or something so that
remember
they have
when you were his
for.
Age, though, when you were seven, is he seven?
Yeah, almost eight.
Almost eight. So when you were eight, you remember when Amazon would come to your house?
Oh, yeah. Drones flying through the sky, dropping things in my chimney.
Yeah, I remember it differently, but you have to, tomorrow, you have to just wrap up a box of rocks.
Oh, that would be awesome. Because, again, in a little yellow kind of envelope type deal that comes in, and just small enough for, or maybe I'll wrap up his existing iPhone cover or iPod cover just to confuse him, all right?
Just take the one he has now, smash it into a million pieces, and then wrap it up and go, oh, whoops. Yeah. Or make your own. This we could go on forever with this.
Oh, yeah. I'll just put a piece of tape across his current cover and write
and misspell
the Oilers.
Oilers.
Yeah, misspell Oilers.
Oilers.
And he will be so disappointed. Like, what has happened?
What has happened to the world? Good times. Well, that's Amazon. What's going on, Adam? Besides the snow and the disappointing your son.
I actually have something. It's not photography related, but it might.
This is the segment of the show where we talk about not photo stuff.
Okay, I think this might appeal to you, but we've never formally talked about this topic before. Rubik's Cube. Do you have one?
You're speaking my language, man. Yes.
Okay.
I have my original one from 1982.
Okay. Now, I thought for sure that you would be into this because, it's very mathematical. There's, very specific algorithms to solve it. My brother had when we were kids. Mm-hmm. I never really played with it much, but my kids like puzzles, they like games, so I was away for the weekend and kind of the last weekend. And the move is, when you go away without the kids, it's you bring them back just a little something. Like, that's just our move at home. And so we bring them back whatever it is, a crossword book or coloring book or just nothing extraordinary, but just something little to bring back. They look forward to it, I look forward to it, everyone's happy and excited. Anyways, when I was away, I saw a Rubik's Cube and it was like, whatever, $8 or something. And I thought, perfect. Like, both kids are going to love this item. So that's what I brought back. And sure enough, they do love it. Who is much more in love with it is myself. So I keep solving it. They keep mixing it up. And then,
so you can solve the Rubik's Cube.
I've never done it before. I could solve it after watching, you know, basically YouTube videos that talk you through the algorithms. And then now it's just memorization. So basically in the last week of tinkering with it, now I have all the algorithms memorized. So now I can do it without anything. And I'm just now trying to get faster and faster.
So how fast can you do it?
5 minutes. Okay. 5 minutes. So I'm not, by no means am I a speed demon yet, but I'm getting faster and faster. I get to parts where I have to think it through more. I see people do it and their hands are moving lightning speed, and I'm a ways from that. But I've done it now, I don't know, a dozen times in the last week.
Wait a second.
And I'm getting better and better and better.
Algorithms, like, you look at the cube and go, all right, this is algorithm A, and then you just bam, or do you do top down?
The way I learned it was basically you start with a very specific pattern. So regardless of how the cube is set and give to you, you start with, you know, the white around a yellow, and then you form a white basically like X or sorry plus, and then you basically solve the white side, and then from there you solve the bottom two layers.
So top down, okay.
Yeah, so I'm actually I do the top, and then I flip it over, and the white becomes the bottom, and I work from there.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. And then once I get all, like, again, there's a certain process to getting the white and then the bottom two layers, and then once you get to there, then you solve the top, and then there's an algorithm that you go step by step. First, you got to get all the yellows in a plus again, and then you got to basically solve the yellow, and then after the yellow, you can start solving the rest. So,
okay.
Which ends up just being the top line. So you do the top line last. Is that
okay?
This all probably is super boring to everybody, but wildly challenging for the brain. Like, I was exceptionally good at memorizing anything as a kid. It's just one of those things came naturally. I could memorize anything, and in school it was the reason I did well in school, because not that I was necessarily learning, but I was committing everything to memory, and I had a very visual memory, like the kind of memory that you can kind of flip through the pages on your notebook and see what you wrote down. So again, it made test learning good. Didn't make learning good, but it made,
like,
test
81,
learning.
81, 243 toothpicks. That was you.
Yeah. Well, not quite that okay. Good, but certainly good enough to thumb through my notebook and regurgitate word for word whatever I had written down originally. So this, I thought, okay, this is right up my alley, except for that amazing memory has faded a little bit.
This will help, though.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what I thought. And as I'm doing it, I'm sort of starting to feel like how that memory works and it come back. And I see the guys that, I mean, I saw, I don't know, on the news 2 or 3 weeks ago, guys do it in, like, you know, under 20 seconds.
No,
right?
They don't though.
But then I thought, well, cause they weren't, it didn't look like they were going through the same process that I'm going through.
No. This is why I asked about the algorithms. Cause I'm a top down guy. I can solve, I have for a long time learned how to solve the Rubik's Cube. And generally my, like, it never takes me longer than 3 minutes. Like, my best time is about two.
Okay.
About 2 minutes. And that's just because I see the guys doing the algorithms. They're like, yeah, the guy solved it in 6 seconds. But then before he started, he stared at it for 2.5 minutes.
Right.
And then started. I said, well, that time counts. Like, you hand me a cube, I can solve it in under 3 minutes. Like, right as soon as you hand it to me.
Right.
So if you're gonna count that, why not count the processing time?
Right. Gotcha.
I can't believe I'm getting so militant about the Rubik's Cube.
No, but it's super fun for anybody out there that hasn't, you know, played with one of these. If you have to, you know, go to the airport or sit somewhere for a couple of hours, so much fun. And I highly recommend. I mean, I don't think it takes anything away. People say, oh, you know, you go to YouTube to learn how it works. Yeah, it's still incredibly taxing on your brain to learn it from watching videos. And I don't see any possibility in again, the next 50,000 lifetimes of me on my own figuring out these algorithms.
No.
Like, it's just not going to happen. I'm not a mathematician. And but learning it this way and just the challenge of going faster and, again, all the memory work that goes into it, super fun. And just something about, I don't know, the brain and the hands interacting this way where it almost starts to run on autopilot. Just I don't know. It's just waking up parts of the brain that I haven't used for a long, long time. I enjoy it, yeah.
I recommend it to everybody. To do that, I have one sitting here on my desk. Like, I legitimately am a Rubik's Cube guy. I have it all the time. Love it for the exact reasons you're talking about.
Okay, then. Well, and there we go. I can't believe it's never come up. It's never, with all your talk of math talk and prime numbers and whatnot. I knew when I picked it up, I was like, Al must love this. Like, Al must, this must be right in his wheelhouse. So
I'm getting to the point where I need a new one. Like, it's sticking too much that it's slowing me down.
Well, and the new ones now, again, I just remember the ones my brother had it as a kid. The new ones all advertise, like, you know, the fast action. Like, they've kind of made the joints, like, it's almost like it's loose graphite. That you can kind of get it out. Well, they have ones that light up. They have, like, blinking ones, and really? Oh, there's, yeah, and I think there's even one like metallic ones, and goes on and on. I just got the very standard, simple as I remembered one, but it does say faster action, so I guess people are trying to do it for speed.
That's kind of the deal. And so, yeah, I don't know how you're going to deal with your kids. Your wife's a teacher, so she'll probably run that end of things. My wife's a teacher, but I will run this end. My kids will not be using calculators.
It's
standard in school. Like, I used to be, well, for a while I was a math tutor. Back when I was in Vancouver and tutoring kids in like grade 8 through 10, 11, whatever it was. And everything was calculator, 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 calculator.
Yeah.
And I said, no, come on, don't do it. Don't. Like, let's put that down for now. I'll show you how to do all this. And then you can use it on your test. Go ahead and use it. I'm not suggesting otherwise. But you should know generally what it's going to be, the answer is going to be, before you punch it in. That way you know that you didn't miss, hit a button wrong or something like that.
Let me just say, as far as my tip of the week, on non-photography related, as far as children learning math skills, I got a great tip for you. Because, again, both Jack and Sarah are pretty good at math. Jack is freaking exceptional at it. But Monopoly. We play a lot of Monopoly, and so just they have to do all the addition, subtraction, and the money exchange, and how money works, and the change when you a property costs this much, and you owe me this much, and oh, it's just great. But guess what they made for Monopoly, and we don't own this?
I don't know.
An automatic version where it does the math for you. There's essentially little calculator cards, and you just, I think how it works is you swipe it and it just tells you. And I thought, oh dear, no, this can't be. Because the game is for 8 and up. It's not, there's a strategy to Monopoly, which I'm sure you know. And
not
it's,
really.
So, well, there's a bit of a strategy. And bottom line is, if you are 8 and up to play, then really you should be able to do, some of the math involved, or at least do much of the math involved, and therefore the calculator is unnecessary.
Right.
Yeah, so nobody buy the calculator version.
Amazon, go ahead and buy it, and then our kids will just dominate.
Yeah. That's true, too. The calculator, Amazon had Monopoly on there. I saw it the other day. I think it was like $12. Like,
really?
Crazy, yeah.
Yeah, in all honesty, like Adam says, don't buy that one, the one that does the calculations for you.
No.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Like the kids I tutored were extremely weak, and they hated me. They absolutely hated me that I wouldn't let them use their calculators. Until I showed them a few tricks and you can do this. I promise you can do this, these in your head. And they could. Eventually they could. So, all right. Should we talk about photos or what?
Sure.
Did you shoot anything interesting?
I did some hockey photos. I'll post a few of those. Okay. I took some hockey photos. Jack played in net last weekend.
Uh-huh.
And so I took some photos of Jack playing in net. I tried to get some action sequences when the puck's getting shot and whatnot. So did a little bit of that. And again, the challenge, and I've talked about hockey in the past, so I won't sort of, you know, spend too much time on it, but low light, right? Arenas, I'm shooting it like, you know, oftentimes, unless someone's totally standing still, which isn't that exciting as far as a photo goes, shooting at probably an ISO of 8,000, 6,400, 8,000 in order to get a shutter speed, you know, up over 600. That's the way it's got to be. So we're talking, you need a full frame camera to do this. I would not in a dark arena. Now these are depending on your arena. There are arenas that have better light. This isn't one of them. But yeah, if you're shooting in this situation, don't even bother unless you're shooting with a 1.8 lens. I mean, I'm shooting with the 70 to 200. So that makes it even more difficult because I got to shoot it at F4.
Right.
But even with, because I've tried it with the 85, it's almost impossible to keep things in focus if you're going to shoot at, you know, 1.8. Good luck. good luck on the getting your shot in focus, especially when they're moving around pretty quick too. So bottom line is, if you're going to attempt this, you need some fast glass, and you need a camera that will, you know, do a pretty good job at higher ISOs, or else don't waste a lot of time with this.
You just make some sketches with charcoal.
Yeah, it's just hockey's tough, which is why I understand so many people buy the 70 to 200 2.8 if they're going to spend a lot of time in arenas, just because that extra light means a lot less noise otherwise because of the cranking of the ISO.
I've had this conversation with friends of ours who said, oh man, like she said, I took all the lessons you gave me and I went and I got nothing in focus of him playing hockey. And I said, listen, like, don't feel bad. Like, it is tremendously difficult to shoot in a hockey rink.
Yeah.
Because you don't know it to your eye. It doesn't look that much, that low light.
Yeah.
Like, that looks all right. And then when you start shooting, everything's blurry, and you're like, what are we doing? So I told her, don't feel bad. I said, plus she did take her, you know, 18 to 200 zoom lens, right?
Right.
So you're kind of out of luck there, you know. It's like it's a minimum F11 or something. So what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're not going to get any shutter speed. Tremendously difficult. You want a fast glass, high ISO. That's kind of, you have to have that.
Yeah. And then on top of that, it certainly helps to have some decent software. So I'm using Lightroom and... Mm. The ability to kind of knock the noise down a bit is pretty helpful too. Now, if you're going to blow these up on poster size, you're probably not going to be thrilled, even though they look pretty decent on your monitor, just because there is just so much noise brought in with this kind of photo. But it looks great as a 4x6 or a 5x7 or whatever.
Sure.
So for that, this is the way to go. Or making hockey cards or whatever I do with them. You know, they look great printed in small sizes.
Yes. Yes, they do.
There you go.
We went last weekend, went walking around, not our town, a neighboring town, a place called Rotenburg. I haven't been there. No reason to talk about that. Just the point is like it's kind of a cool old German town with the cobblestone streets, and it was just some really, really cool light.
Okay.
And so I managed to snap a photo of my daughter, which I posted, just because I said, hey, wow, like the way the light was kind of coming in through the old-time buildings and sort of the way it was hitting her and the background all kind of worked out nice. So I was kind of just thought that was awesome. Like 30 mil lens on the 40D, my go-to walking around lens or a camera lens setup. So that's what that was.
Nice.
And then, as I said, it was like a few days ago, it was, you know, down to minus 15. We've had snow and ice for a while. And then all of a sudden, done. It went from minus 15, and 2 days later, it was plus 10, plus 12. Unbelievable. And so we're out, I guess, two nights ago, and sort of the magic hour, and it was just amazing. Like, it was really warm. My son was wearing a sweatshirt. The birds were chirping. I thought, oh, my, spring is here. And I just saw the light is just amazing. Like, it's one of those times you look outside and think, I got to get out there. I have to get a photo. I don't care of what, like it just of something, because it really, like the low sun is just coming in nice and golden. the sky behind is this nice deep dark blue. It's just the perfect lighting. So I run outside. I always keep the 85 mil on my 5D Classic just sitting there ready to go. So I come running out with that, ready to fire off a shot of my son, who's out there, you know, smiling, and he doesn't want his picture taken. No, Dad. No. And he's just refusing, and he's hiding, like hiding in the shadows. And I, hey, you're three, buddy, and you're my buddy. What are you doing? Come on. Finally managed to trick him in. I tricked him to looking over at me once, and so I got like basically got one photo. That's why I posted that. Not loving the photo entirely, but just to show you the light that was, like, it was really was not, I've done nothing. This is out of camera. This is just exactly how it looked.
Nice.
So have a look. This is a great time of year for that.
And it's interesting. I got the two photos up side by side at how much cooler, you know, the light is for your son's photo compared to your daughter's photo. The tones are so much cooler. Maybe that's partly just the time of day versus your daughter's is very warm. Like, her skin tones are much warmer than his are.
Oh, could be, yeah.
And even the light on his hair, like, it's almost like there's a blue tinge to the light around his hair. And again, your daughter's is very warm.
Hers was midday, not quite midday, probably 2 o'clock or something like that. So the sun's still pretty low. You can still see longer shadows this time of year. That's how it goes. And with him, I what I liked about this was he's kind of sandwiched between, like, the light hitting his face is coming from that kind of golden sort of low sun through clouds. So it's not that perfect, you know, red sun that you get in the summertime. It's kind of broken up by the clouds a little bit, but in the background it is so blue. Like, that sky is that blue. Mm-hmm. And so I guess that's what's kind of sandwiching him from the other side and giving that the little blue tinge. So
no,
just
good.
If you can find it, it's a great time of year to be shooting these kind of photos. So there's that.
Nice.
And then lastly, I shot a video for our baseball team doing training in the arena that we train in the winter. And I think I posted a link to that on our Facebook. The one thing I wanted to just mention is, wow, is that a hard floor to shoot with? They don't have a normal wood floor. It's like this kind of weird floor that is kind of a pink color. Okay. And so we have this fluorescent lighting and a pink floor, and the colors are just a mess. And nothing you can do. Like, I used a gray card before we started, but, you know, okay, best you can do. It's just such a mess in there for colors. Thanks a lot, Paul Horn. That's great. So that reminds me, though, to check out the my baseball team, the Tubingen Hawks. We have our own Instagram, so I'll post a link to that if you want to check out. We post some stuff fairly regularly, behind-the-scenes kind of stuff of our baseball season. It's starting new this year. We haven't done Instagram before, so that's brand new.
Wow. Yes, please.
It's mostly stuff that I've shot, so you won't see me in it. That's the good news.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how we do. So, all right, photo challenge. Wow, already?
The monthly.
This is the monthly. The first month one is black and white. We kept it. We wanted to start off kind of easy and a little bit open, so you could interpret this however you wanted. When it comes to black and white, what is it that makes a black and white photo, in your opinion? Like, why do you shoot black and white?
Sometimes I like it for the tone. So sometimes you're going for something formal. So I like black and white in sort of a formal situation. Also, if the colors don't add anything, sometimes you can create a more dramatic effect, or it's sort of high contrast situations where black and white lends itself really nicely. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the colors are just kind of muted, or sometimes the colors are like pink floor. Sometimes the colors basically distract, or you can't get them right. So black and white is sort of the default mode sometimes.
That's kind of what happens, you know? So sometimes you just decide to turn a photo into black and white just because.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't need to be, it looks cool. You can go either way. Like, there's some photos you have which look just as good in color. a lot of times we kind of do it out of, I would say, desperation, like the pink floor. Like I the week before, I took a bunch of photos in that hall, in that arena, and just put them in the black and white because it just, some of them look terrible. No, you know, fluorescent lighting, pink floor, here you go, black and white. It'll look fine. But I wanted to do something that I had, you know, with black and white in mind. Like, what's going to look good in black and white and not look good in color? That's kind of what I was hoping for this week, this month. So we had a nice response on, I think, on Instagram. Did you look at any of them on Instagram?
No, I still don't know how to use Instagram.
That's why I took screen captures of all of the photos and put them in the Dropbox for you.
Oh my goodness, that's fantastic.
I knew you wouldn't be able to figure out something so simple.
Okay, I'm going to get a tutorial for my wife this weekend.
How to search for hashtags?
Yeah. What is a hashtag and how does it work?
Exactly. Yeah. So,
I'm looking through the photos as we speak, mm-hmm. and I'm liking them. There's some really good stuff here.
So we are glad to see people participate. I think every photo that was hashtagged, I think I liked it. Like I physically clicked on the heart button.
I liked zero of them.
Yeah. No. Great. What I'm saying is, if I didn't like it, don't feel bad. I must have just missed it, and I don't know how I did, but apologies. And we do want to look at everyone who posts. We want to look and see your photos. That's the plan.
And I'm going to learn how to use this going forward.
Yeah, I'm not doing screen captures next week. I'll tell you that.
Don't hold your breath.
Uh huh. Yeah. Well, there's that.
Okay.
There you go. So just a couple. Like I'm not gonna. We're not gonna talk about all of them every week. The idea is that you guys kind of involve each other. And I have seen that some of the people who posted challenge photos have liked other people's challenge photos.
And that's the point, right?
That's the point. That's what we're trying to do.
Quite a few of these. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I'm going through them and thinking, wow, a lot of people participated. That's terrific.
I had to set up about 200 Instagram accounts and post them all.
Nice.
That's how I did. They're all me, really. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Some of these shots are not like your typical photos.
Yeah. Pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I pulled them off the internet somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah. And no, it was, like I say, great response. And so I just picked three that kind of caught my eye. The first one is the kid. Is that a harmonica?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Otherwise, I'm lost. That's what I thought it was. Yeah.
Okay. So that's one by Sunny D. I like this one especially because, you know, I like pictures of people for sure. And but he did the double whammy, he said. It's the shoot-through umbrella, which was the challenge of the week that week, and in black and white. And he said he did it on a backwards couch.
Nice.
So that's the hoser's hat trick right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, that one. Another one that stood out, there's the one of the bridge from Derek Bez, who's been on the show, like, a few years ago. He's the guy who did the birds. The bird episode.
Okay.
And so I like the one of the little walkway slash, that's not a bridge, is it? That's a walkway. It's like a pier of some sort in the Thames.
Yeah.
I like that. It just kind of stuck out. Like, I stood out to me. Like that's a photo that has to be in black and white. It can't, that there's no reason for that to be in color.
Yeah.
You would not like it.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, and only problem is I can't see the O2. And then lastly, another one that stuck out was the one by Falkland Tim. Was eating raspberries, but with drama. That's what he called it. That's his daughter sort of in the sunlight, peeking in.
Yeah, that one's nice. Can I pick one? I like.
I want to just make mention real quick of the one with Tim here. It would probably be a better, I don't want to say better photo. I just did though, so here we are. If we toned down, like we lowered the exposure a little bit, because it's a little bit blown out on her, or him, could be him. I'm not sure. Is it coming out like that on your monitor, or is it just mine?
Yeah, it's a little bit hot, I agree.
A little blown
on,
so
on the hair, on the hair and the side of the face, yeah.
So if you were to drag the highlights down, assuming he shot raw, and drag the highlights down in Lightroom, you'd probably get a much more pleasing image, but overall, I like what's going on. So what sticks out for you?
Sticks out for me is the guy with the guitar by E. Lugo.
No, I hate that one.
Oh, okay.
No.
No, I really like it. And again, my only critique, because I think this is a terrific photo. This is the kind of photo I really, really like. I don't know. It's just something about it. It's the yeah, I can't even put my finger on it exactly, but I like that moment and just almost like a spotlight effect on him with black all around. I probably, with this photo, I would have probably cropped this a little tighter to him. Because there's a big black sort of area in the foreground, which is fine. It just doesn't need to be, you know, 2/3 of the frame. Just my two cents. It's just a preference as far as it goes. I love this photo, though. This is terrific.
Yeah, so good job. Good job, everybody. With that, let's have a look at our challenge photos. You want to go first or second?
It doesn't matter.
All right, let's have a look at yours. I like yours.
Okay.
Really like yours. Really like what's going on. You kind of hinted at this a couple of weeks ago that you were going to do dog photo.
Yeah, puppy. A puppy that the lady that does a little bit of before and after school care for my kids someday. She's been sort of like the local grandma to my kids since they were really little. They've been going to her house and she helps sometimes if we need, something to pick them up after school. If we can't get there in time, then she does it. And she's just a lovely, lovely lady that is looking after this puppy for her daughter. Just got a brand new puppy.
Okay.
And so they didn't want to release, the breeder didn't want to release the puppy until it was old enough to be in the house by itself, which they didn't think was going to be for a few months. So they basically bring it over to her house every day, and she looks after it during the day. And he's an English bulldog, and they got him at just, I think this is right around 8 weeks. So he's just when breeders let puppies go. Uh-huh. And so, so cute. And it's sort of, when I first saw him, I'm like, that's what I'm doing a picture of. So I asked the necessary party's permission, and they said, go ahead. And I took, I don't know, he was sitting on the couch, and I probably took a dozen photos of him. He was just kind of waking up from a little nap, as 8-week-old puppies do. They sleep quite a bit, so I'm told. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I just took a few photos. This was sort of early evening, so I don't know, about 4:30, 5 o'clock, and there's just window light, but not a lot of light, window light, and he was lying on the sofa. And I just thought, just the colors in his face, his sort of browns and whites, I thought would lend itself nicely to black and white. The couch was dark, kind of almost a color close to his fur. So I knew I could sort of tinker around a little bit. But that just so happened to be where he was lying. And I just used it almost to try to frame the photo. And that's it. The end.
No, that's what I like, the fact that the couch registers in a similar tone in black and white as the bulk of his fur.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and then you have basically the part that is white in his fur kind of acts as the accents.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes him stand out. So there's no confusion. He's not blending into the background at all, yet it is the same color. So that, like, that's kind of nice when you can get this kind of, not a wide variety in gray tones here.
Right.
Love it. I really like that. Like, I like the sharpness in around his eyes. At first glance, I would think, man, maybe his nose should be sharp too. But then
I did it both ways. And that's exactly what I thought. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to like exactly. So I'm going to take, at F2 and all the way up to, I think I went up to like F5.6.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, I'm shooting with the 85 millimeter, pretty close range. So I think that where I settled this photo, I want to say is 2 point something. I don't know if it's 2.5 or 2.8 or whatever it was, but really shallow. But what I liked about the really shallow in comparison to the ones that had like a greater depth is just the white that I wanted to pay attention to was all around sort of that eyes, between his eyes and his paws. And I was sort of looking for the paws to be pretty much in focus, the eyes to be really in focus, and all of that funky fur around his forehead and his wrinkles to be in focus. I didn't want to distract from that. So what I found with the ones that had at an F5.6 or an F4 was that you just didn't know what
exactly was where the focus was. And that's fine too. I just preferred it to go right to his eyes because it's like, I don't know, there's an old soul in there somewhere.
Okay, I wish you hadn't said that last part, but okay.
He's a wise little puppy. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. He
2.5 minutes on the Rubik's Cube.
Yeah.
He can nail it.
Oh, maybe even faster.
Yeah. It's ironic that it's funny to me that you solve the white side first. It doesn't matter. It's arbitrary.
Yeah.
But you will always solve the white side first. Like, yes. That'll be your side now. Like once you pick your side, that's just, I've always solved the blue first.
Okay.
Yeah, just letting you know. Just a call back to earlier boringness. So ultimately, this was a photo that needs to be in black and white, that you clearly shot in black and white. There wasn't you weren't trying to save it. In color, this would have been an okay photo, much better in black and white.
Yeah, it's fine in color. It's just, I agree. It's a better photo in black and white because of just how that those little white furs stick out. Like, it just doesn't have the same effect in color. So
no.
There you go.
All right. So here's mine. Mine is also, well, you can figure out what's going on here.
Okay. I'm looking at the large.
It's the exact same photo. I just put it larger for you to look at. I'm not going to post the large one.
It's a house on a hill.
It's a church.
It's a church on a hill.
It is.
Okay. Tell me where this is and why you took this.
This is a locally, anyway, famous church, the little landmark, not too far from where we live, in a little village called Vermlingen. It's Vermlingen Capella, and it's a little church on the top of the hill. You can see it from all around the valley. It's kind of great looking. Like, it looks really cool, and so you see it kind of every day, and every day, just like, it's the thing. I want to photograph this because people know it in this area, but it also, it can look amazing. And I'm not a big, you know, church kind of guy. I mean, I am a church kind of guy. That's not true. I'm not, but I like seeing all the old churches here in Europe. So kind of the first thing that you do when you go to a new town, new village, a new town, whatever, is you go to the church. And so you see it all the time, and it's such a, this always strikes me as, like, there's so many different ways you can photograph this church. Because it's kind of sticks out of the middle of nowhere. That's what's kind of cool about it. And it's a functioning church. Like, a couple of friends of mine have gotten married there, which sort of sucks because you have to walk up. And on Boxing Day this year, I posted a photo of my daughter on a hill looking out over a valley. I remember I used the flash.
Yep.
That was taken outside this church.
Okay.
On the top looking down. And so there's just many different times where, like, when, like, the sunshine will poke through the clouds and kind of light the church up, and it'll be, you know, fantastic looking. So I've never really photographed it. And then we had a snow early in January. We had the snow blanketed the area, and I thought, that's when I want to shoot it. And I want to shoot it in black and white. We had a kind of a that sort of dramatic sky in behind, and so I went and hiked out in the valley and took the long lens and the tripod and snapped this. And it's very specific; had to be in black and white.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Okay, so do you want to hear my critique?
Yes.
It's fine. No, I'm just kidding. It's terrific. Like, this is, I don't do this ever, or I can't remember the last time I tried to take this kind of photo. I don't mean the church where you live. I just mean this kind of, you know, sweeping landscape photo. Partly, I think, you know, I just not super confident about what I want going in. I don't know exactly. I don't see it in my head before I take the photo. Pre-visualize, I think that was a term that you coined. I don't see it ahead of time, and so then I just, because I don't see it, I don't bother taking it. This is terrific. This is a postcard for wherever this town is, and the black and white is amazing. The snow on the hills and the detail that you get as a result of the white, because you can dial this up and down to wherever you want it exactly, right? And the detail in the clouds, you know, the church
is, you know, it's perfect. It's as far as
very little dialing, actually. This is one of those times where I noticed and said, okay, great. Like, those clouds were there. Like, yeah. I specifically went, I said, okay, now is my shot. Because this is I can see this church from my house, but I can't get a good photo of it from my house. I have to get out and, like, go. And where I go to take this, you can't drive. You have to hoof it or ride your bike or whatever it is.
Right.
Because it's there's no car roads in this area. So there'll be times where I'll look out the window and see this amazing light. Like, the sky behind will be this amazing blue, and like in dusk, and the shaft of light will be kind of coming down and hitting the church, and I'll want to go and take a photo, but I have 30 seconds. Like, and, right. and it's going. Like, the sun's going to be gone. And so, like, I've waited so many times where I've wanted to shoot this. And so this is one of those times where I picked. I said, okay, I bet you I can get this one now without having to go and do a lot of Lightroom dialing in, which mm-hmm. I wanted to avoid.
Yeah, no, it's really good. Really like it. I think that maybe you can sell that as a print to somebody. Not to me. I'm not buying it, but
I'll send you one.
somebody in Germany will buy it. I imagine there's probably lots of people that, you know, have strong feelings about this as a landmark, and so mm-hmm. yeah, so maybe
well, you
yeah.
can't drive, like, where I live, like in Tübingen on the side, you can't go anywhere without seeing it. Like, it's kind of like, I don't know, like when you walk around Vancouver, how do you know where north is?
Mountains.
You know, oh, the mountains are there, that's where north is. This is the kind of thing. It's like it's a landmark. You always kind of have an idea where you are based on this,
right?
So,
cool.
All right. So that's it. That was this week's, this month, this week and month. Next month is going to be kind of hinted at with my son's photo. It's an amazing time to get magic hour photos, especially because magic hour is pretty early in the day.
Okay.
You don't have to wait till 11:30 at night to get out there. You can get magic hour. Well, if you're in, you know, up north right now, you can get it. Never, actually. There's no magic hour. It's just dark. But so, yeah, we're going to do magic hour for the month of February, which is kind of counterintuitive because you kind of generally think of magic hour in July. But we're going to zig here instead of zag.
Okay.
So there you go. Be sure to hashtag it as you have. Hashtag it with the two hosers monthly challenge. You'll find that on our website, and maybe add a little description in the caption, just say, hey, you know, this is the challenge for February, or just let other people know exactly, you know, what it is that you're shooting. That's gotcha. My suggestion. Yeah. So okay. Someone suggested we should maybe have, you know, separate hashtags for each month. I thought about it. Don't want to do that. I want everyone to be able to quickly search for the hashtags of everybody who has posted these without having to worry about month. Just look at all of them across the year. So
right.
So it's kind of funny that you mentioned that, you know, this is not the kind of photo that you do normally, because this is not the photo that I do either, at all, ever. I shoot people. Like, I shoot pictures of my kids. I shoot the kids and their friends, that kind of stuff. Like, this is way out of my wheelhouse. So the topic this week is, do you have a hole in your game? In your photo game? Is there a hole? Like, now, you obviously...
Not enough church photos for
not
me.
Not enough church photos, absolutely. So you kind of hear this, like, you know, you think, oh, yeah, like, I don't know who the latest... I guess Steph Curry is like the number one, you know, basketball player now.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know what the rap is on him. Maybe he can't play defense.
No, he's pretty good.
Is he good at that? Okay.
Yeah.
Can't dunk. I don't know. Whatever
not,
it is.
Yeah, he's not a high flyer. He doesn't play above the rim.
Right. So there you go. So there will be a hole in his game, which is silly because he's amazing. And this another one that struck me, and this is a, I somebody had this argument in the 80s. This was the 80s, so it was a long time ago. But we were talking about none other than Wayne Gretzky.
Right.
How amazing he is. And this person said to me, I swear to you, yeah, but he can't fight. True.
True, yeah.
True, he can't. That is definitely a weakness of the great one. He can't huck the mitts. which was silly. But in a weird, just a twist on that. Like, there's a weird aside to that story to him not being able to fight. He got into a couple fights in his career. Gretzky did.
Yeah, I recall one.
And so a friend of yours and mine, way back when he was in college, he went to college down south in America, in the middle America, and he was driving somewhere in through Minnesota or something like that. I forget where he was, in the middle of the country in the winter, and blew a tire. Did not have a car jack. So he's kind of out of luck. He's just on the highway, middle of nowhere. Car pulls over. He says, yeah, you need help. Yeah. He says, you need a jack. Here you go. Here, take my jack. And the guy is not sticking around. He's like, I'm out of here. You take it. And he's like, well, how do I get it back to you? Guy hands our friend his business card. He says, well, just, you know, get in touch with me here and you get it back to me. Yeah. Okay. Will do. Looks at the card after the guy's gone. The name is Phil Sykes. The guy who fought Gretzky.
No.
True story.
Wow.
Did not return his jack, just kept it.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go.
Because he was mad for the fact that the guy fought Gretzky?
Yeah, I think he just couldn't be bothered. But
so, yeah, it wasn't like he was taking a stand. That's an unwritten rule. You just don't fight Gretzky, man.
Don't do it, man. Yeah. So listen, Phil Sykes, if you're listening, get in touch. We'll get your car jack back. It's only been a scant 20 years. So if you need that. I mean, he's probably on the side of the road with a flat for the last 8 years. Just can't get anywhere. So there you go. But the point is, that was the big hole in Gretzky's game. And so do you have a hole in your game? And this came up to me this week. This week, I mean, I haven't sat down and thought about it and thought, oh, geez, you know, what am I missing here? But I was framing some photos. We're adding some more photos around the house, finally. And I had some I want to put up in the stairwell of our place. And so I was kind of looking for something very specific. I wanted something personal. Like that, something that means something to us, and more often than not, because we're living here, that means pictures of Vancouver.
Okay.
You know, because it's kind of like if we were living in Vancouver, we'd have, you know, this church thing would be on our wall, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just kind of how it goes. But I also wanted something sort of timeless, which means my young kids shouldn't be in it because it's, you know. You see how big they are in that picture. It's very specific to that one moment. So I just kind of wanted something somewhat neutral time-wise.
Okay.
So I needed a landscape photo.
Gotcha.
But vertical.
Oh.
Yeah. I have nothing. Like, I went through thousands. I spent a day just fast-clicking through my entire archive. I have next to no... Not even ones that mean anything to me. Just next to none landscape photos in the vertical orientation.
Yeah, that doesn't come up for me either.
Unless
it was a super tall building and you're just trying to get the whole thing. But I can't even think of ever shooting that. So
I've tried that, though. I've tried to shoot good photos of the Marine Building in Vancouver, which is an amazing Art Deco building. It's just that... In its current environment, it's just not a good photo. Like, you have to go stand in the middle of Hastings, and, you know, and then you can get it, but the buildings around it don't really... it never becomes a thing for me.
Yeah.
I suppose it could be. Now, when I say landscape, I don't necessarily mean, you know, out in the country. I mean anything without people in it, really.
Gotcha, yeah.
You know? And so I wonder, maybe I have a photo of, now that I say it, the Marine Building that would work, because like a close up, not a full, because in my head I was looking for the full image of the Marine Building. Don't have one that's good. Might have a closer one that would mean something. But again, I ended up finding one that I took on a BC ferry. I took a shot of the old bell on the front of a ferry. And it's going through, like, on the way to Victoria.
Okay.
Or maybe Nanaimo. I'm trying to think of the trip it was on. Sure. Regardless, going through the Gulf Islands, the whole area, the Juan de Fuca Strait and all that, like that means something to me. And so this, and it turned out it was, you know, it's actually, I like the photo. I'm going to get it printed very large and hang it up vertically. However, I can't believe out of the, I don't even know how many photos I have in my archives, 40,000, you know, I found one that fit the bill. So that's a problem. So with that, where, and you can't say vertical landscape, I've already used it. Do you have a hole in your game?
I think, yeah, probably a lot of holes. I have no clue as to how to take a macro photo. I don't have a lens for it, so that's probably a good place to start. So it's a giant gaping hole.
Mm-hmm.
But I also, even if I had a macro lens, I don't even know where I would start from there. What would I take a picture of? Would I take a picture of a flower? And if so, I would have no clue where to start, or a bumblebee or whatnot. I guess I could, you know, fumble my way through something, but I don't feel like I have an eye for anything macro related.
Mm-hmm.
And that being said, I don't really feel like I have an eye for anything environmental. So basically, if we're talking any kind of photo outside of people, and in this case, I'll also include dogs. if it's not a face, how about that? If the subject of the photo is not something's face, mm-hmm. I'm not sure what to do.
Okay.
So there's a hole. It's a huge, huge hole, a vortex.
Well, I disagree. It's not as big as you think it is, because it's a certain part of the skill set that will transfer over and allow you to make those photos, to make interesting. It's just that you don't.
Yeah, I don't. And I think, yes, I could get a pass, but I don't think if I showed it to a stranger that they're going to say, wow, that's a really good photo. I wouldn't feel the confidence in that with anything other than sort of a portrait of somebody or something.
Yes, I'm in the exact same position, and I think now that I've kind of forced myself to look at why, it's because you can't duplicate what I just did. Mostly because you don't have access to my kids. You know, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you can get close. You can take a picture of somebody else with that lighting and with that sort of expression, and you can get something close, but you cannot duplicate what just happened. You can do that with a leaf or a flower or a ladybug or the church in Vermilion. Like you can look at my photo and go, all right, I can kind of figure out where he stood, and I can go and do, I can pretty much do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, are you going to get it the exact day that the light dusting of snow across the, like those are like grapevines. Some of the. On the hill there. So are you going to get that, you know, that light dusting of snow where it's on the ground, but the grapevines still stick out, and the, you know, that those angry clouds in behind? Probably not. That's kind of a, you know, once in a year, once every couple of years that all aligns. So in that respect, no, but you're going to get a cool photo like that.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of where we sort of feel this confidence is that, yeah, we can do this. We can make this look really cool. And it's going to stand out by nature of it being unique.
Right.
Does it matter? Do you care?
No.
No, I didn't even notice it until I absolutely wanted the vertical landscape photo. Until that, I didn't even notice it was missing in my repertoire, and I'm. But now that I see it, I'm going to make every effort to fix that.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally, like I'm going to go from one to having four in my archive.
Like for me, I think I would really like a Vancouver skyline photo. Like if I took a really really nice Vancouver skyline photo, then I would probably put it in a frame and put it up on my wall. And I've seen some terrific Vancouver skyline photos. haven't ever attempted it, not sure exactly where I would go, if it would be along the seawall in Vancouver to do it. But that's something that's sort of often occurred to me when I see it well done in a gift shop or whatnot. But yeah, still haven't actually attempted it.
I think you'd want to do something that means something to you. So if you spend any time in, you know, on the seawall and you look back at Vancouver, which you can, then it might mean a lot more, like, oh, it would remind you of the times you were there.
Right.
You know, or but generally when I take these kind of photos, my attitude is, well, I'm going to make it my own. So I want to anchor this photo with, you know, my kids or my wife or somebody in the photo.
That's exactly what I do too.
And that's what I did not want. Because we have photos of the kids and us around the house, as I'm sure you do. I know you do.
Yep.
But I said, you know, for this, I just kind of wanted something neutral here. And it's like, I ended up needing three different photos for the stairwell. And all three, I wanted all three to be neutral, with not featuring the kids. And this proved, the other two were landscape format. Like, and so I have a lot more of those, because when you think of landscape, you think of landscape orientation.
Right.
Huh. Go wide. As I did, I didn't shoot a vertical one of this church. It was, no, the landscape's here. Like, that's what you get. So there's that. That's the only hole in my game, is that one.
Okay.
And not even that. Like, when I say hole, it's not like, oh, you can't do it. I just mean that you don't do it. For whatever reason, you don't make it happen. I mean, you can go out there and at least halfway it. You can get it halfway there. You just never, it never occurs to me. So I will fix that. I'm going to fix that every now and then by getting a vertical landscape.
I'm going to try to just take, again, I think I've made this promise before and I've fallen short, so I'm probably lying through my teeth right now. I have every intention of attempting to take some photos other than people photos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do it.
Rubik's Cube.
I have a few of those, you know, early on when, you know, when you first get your first digital SLR and you're just shooting everything, like just not even to keep, like you're just shooting to see, hey, what does this do? What happens if I do this?
Yeah.
And so basically you shoot the hell out of everything that's around your desk. And so I have a number of shots of the Rubik's Cube because it the way the light falls on it, like if it's light coming in, it got different colors, like it's pretty cool to shoot. So I did shoot a lot of photos of the Rubik's Cube.
What about, and maybe this already exists, but I'm pretty sure I'm inventing this right now.
Mm-hmm.
What about like a Rubik's Cube, like player's card, like Adam Schwartz, Rubik's Cube, like 5 minutes and 18 seconds best, like all the stats and stuff on the back, right? Like Team Richmond, Rubik's Cube, something like that. But like, again, do you think someone's done this already? Am I entering a world of geekdom that otherwise doesn't exist?
Yeah, there's different levels to this. I think you're at a safe level now. I don't think you want to go too far deeper. I'm guessing. I see these guys doing the speed cubing. I've seen a few of the videos, and it's a bit of a cult.
Okay.
So I just stay out of it.
Okay. Don't join, go to the meetings.
No. Just join Scientology. It's safer.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the way I would go. So with that, so we issued our monthly challenge. That is going to be Magic Hour.
Okay.
But you and I need one for next week, and guess what? It's vertical landscape.
Oh no!
Oh, you are right. That's right in your wheelhouse now.
This is going to be a disaster.
I'll tell you what. I would tell you what I would shoot if I was you. So there you go. I'll tell you off the air.
Okay.
Yeah.
But landscape can constitute anything that isn't a people photo.
Yeah, people can even be in it. I don't care.
Okay.
But if it shouldn't be clear, like, oh, it's a portrait of my son against a black background. Like, that shouldn't be it.
Right.
It would need to be a, I purposely said vertical landscape. It's a landscape. Landscape, okay. In a landscape format. No, in
no,
a vertical format.
In a portrait format.
In a portrait format. Yeah, that's why I wrote it that way. I've been huffing paint all day.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, it's not you. It's me. Okay. So yeah, vertical landscape. that's the challenge for next week, which is good. It's just terrible because I'm not going to have anything.
Mine's going to be awful.
I know what you. I would love to shoot yours. I know exactly what I would shoot if I was you.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's that. Websites, Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca. And what about your stuff?
You can find mine at AlanAtridge.com, the two of us at twohosers.com. We can find the links, photos, Amazon stuff, all the things that we just talked about. There it is at twohosers.com. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.